and Becca Shea.
Blog Talk Radio.
Heartbeat of the Creator.
And has blood has ransomed people for God.
Hey!
From every tribe and language, people, every nation.
Hey!
Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Lift your eyes to rise and shine.
Wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey!
Collectively promoting unity in planet Earth. Becca Shea,
and her blood has ransomed people for God.
Hey!
From every tribe and language, people, every nation.
Hey!
Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
And if your God will rise and shine.
Being healed by the peace
of Yahweh,
bringing us power through unity.
Where
warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Tribal, come alive.
Yeah, wake up, you sleeping giant.
Your heart.
are together tonight. We are in the studio of Blog Talk Radio, the Female Solution, and the studio of Soul Purpose Healing. So thank you for joining me tonight. I have a very special guest, a longtime friend, sister, minister, so many roles, and mother. Most of all, tonight we're talking about the role of motherhood and how we can wash away the grief and celebrate soul graduation when one of our children departs from the earth in the soul, from the physical body. And thank you so much for joining me. If you have a question or comment, you can always call in 215-383-5863 or post your comment here on Facebook. I see Zelda's joining me tonight, and hopefully we're going to have more joining me. We have some people in the studio. But my guest tonight, Sister Minister Cynthia Hughes. I keep thinking of our other Cynthia. We have another sister who follows us, and her name is Cynthia. But I want to just give a brief introduction. One of the reasons that we're here tonight talking about grief is that obviously so many people are seeing their loved ones depart their body. And my own personal experience was I had a sister who departed from this life, exited graduation because her own child departed life first, this body first. So Wednesday I attended the funeral of my guest tonight. Her son was celebrated on Wednesday of this past week. And the eulogy that my guest gave was so powerful and so relevant and so uplifting and just so wonderful that it made me think of the Psalms, Psalms 30, verse 11, where it says, the Creator turns our mourning into dancing. And I researched a little bit, and there's something like 6 scriptures in the Bible that talk about turning our mourning into dancing or joy. So some of you might be asking, well, why? Why should we stop our grief? And what's possible if we do stop the grief and get into soul graduation celebration? Well, one of the things that can happen is we let go of the ego. I read this on my son's birthday. I never really connected the ego to this whole process of stages of grief and all that. But on my son's birthday, which was the 12th of last week, I read this and I thought, wow, that's very interesting how it connects the ego in my book Along the Path to Enlightenment, something we're all working toward. But it said the ego gets a grim pleasure and satisfaction from suffering, and all the dishonest levels of pride, anger, desire, guilt, shame, and grief. Whoa, I thought grief and the ego? No. But it says the secret pleasure of suffering is addictive. Many people devote their entire lives to it and encourage others to follow suit. To stop this mechanism, the pleasure of the payoff has to be identified and willingly surrendered to the Creator, Yahweh. Out of shame, the ego blocks out conscious awareness of its machinations, especially the secretiveness of the game of victim. Whoa, I read that just this past week, and it just gave me a whole new thought process and just provoked so much thought. So my guest tonight is the mother of, she birthed 6 children. I believe it's 6. She'll correct me if I'm wrong. And we're going to talk about the stages of grief that she went through or not. And I want to especially talk about the partnership that mothers have when they become pregnant. I never thought of it until like the last couple of years that when I studied to be a doula, that having a soul enter a woman's body and grow in to become an infant is a partnership. I was like, whoa, it just came to me from spirit that the partnership, and there's that attachment to the umbilical cord, the womb, the soul attaches as the body forms, And then there's the influence of the mother when it's time to go into labor, but also that baby, that soul is also participating in the labor process and the birth. And I never thought of it that way. I always thought it was all mother. It was all, oh, we got to push this baby out. I'm in pain. I'm suffering. But guess what? The more conscious you are in the 9 months of preparing to give birth and to go into labor, I found out, and many of you may not agree with this, but then you can let me know if you do or not, I found that it's a partnership. When it's time for the woman to contract and open up the, bring that muscle opening to let the baby out, the baby is participating as well. So just some food for thought, and I'm going to open up the mic because my guest is here in the studio, and we want to bring her in so you can get to know this amazing, fantastic sister, Cynthia Hughes. Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You can hear me okay?
I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. So I'll speak up just a little bit. But thank you for joining me. Was that correct? You birthed 6 children? Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, are you
yes.
there? Okay, yes. Was that correct? You birthed 6 children.
No, 7, and I had 2 miscarriages.
Oh, so 7 children were live births and 2 miscarriages.
That's correct.
So you would have had 9.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you would have been... So this is why we are going to have this wonderful conversation about motherhood and partnership. I thought about the partnership that soul makes when it comes into the womb. But first, Cynthia, tell us a little bit about what belief system you developed from childhood to today that influenced your powerful eulogy. So I want you to take us back a few years and share why or how your belief system developed from the time you were born in, I think it was, what, South Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, my mom, she, in the 1970s, she gave her life over to the Father. And during that process, she said that he spoke to her and said, if you would give your life to me, I would save you, your household, and all therein. All therein meaning people that are connected to us, meeting the first time. And in fact, those that are hearing my voice out there, you are in the all therein. And from the 70s up until passing away about 2 months ago, that was the theme. And that she shared with us and to remind us how important it was that we will live a life that was pleasing to Yahweh. And not only that, she demonstrated that. And she also she said to me once, the Father did not tell me how they was going to give their lives over to, because some of us did some mischievous things that was not quite pleasing to her, but we were working out our own salvation and our own relationship of faith with the Father. But she never gave up on her children living a life that would please the Father and that would also encourage others. So that's basically in a nutshell. And I, as a young child, I always had a desire to want to know his word and to have a relationship with him, that he was real. He wasn't just in a figure of speech or somebody you go to church services on a Sunday and you talk about it and you leave out and that's it. But I wanted to build my own relationship with him and to trust him.
Now, was your father around during your childhood?
Yes, my father was around, but my father was a functional alcoholic. But the amazing thing about my mom, with the troubles that we went through with him and the abuse that we went through with him, my mom always instilled in us that what your dad is not doing is not right. But because he's your dad, you still need to respect him, not what he's doing, but respect him as your dad. Not the sin, but him as a person. And when he became sick with the Legionnaire disease, truly, we was able to, because of my mom teaching, we was able to show him love, do what we know we can do to help take care of him and have our conversations with him because he was changing. And with his passing, I can say because the instructions of my mom and the importance of loving the person and not the sin, when he passed, I had no guilt. Nothing but love toward him.
Now, how many siblings did you have?
We had, it's 10 of us.
Wow. Okay. So, big family,
girls,
and you wanted to take care of me, obviously.
Right.
So, that you
are,
yeah. So, now, was your father there? Was your father religious at all?
My father knew about salvation. He knew about church. He knew about what was right. But I, as an adult, I come to understand that my father had a deliverance from the alcohol. And my father had some serious childhood hurts, I think, himself. And the alcohol helped numb the pain for him, and he just did not know how to communicate that. Of course, as we got older, as adults, we was able to understand that and to see it. Things was revealed through the Holy Spirit with him, and he agreed. He agreed that these were the things, and, you know, of course, his heart melted, and he asked for his acts of forgiveness, but he.
So you grew up in a Christian family with 10 siblings.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I don't hear about that too often, but it's always good to know that. When I look at your life, that I've known Cynthia for maybe 10 years or more, and I've known her family, how she raised these 7 children just so beautifully and so disciplined and so respectful. And now I see, you know, where the root of that came from. And, you know, it seems like many of us baby boomers talk about how we had at least one parent who was an alcoholic. So that alcohol is so dangerous, I tell you, especially back in the 50s. At least one parent, most of the people I know, had an alcohol issue, an addiction. So fast forward, you married a man, and both of you decided you wanted to have lots of children, right?
Well, we decided we was going to trust the Father for bringing forth the seed that he wanted to bring forth.
Right. Okay. So,
right.
And let me ask you, when I talked earlier, I mentioned earlier about how I became to realize the partnership that each seed that came in, star seed came into our womb, that it was a partnership with each pregnancy. Have you had that feeling or that belief about each pregnancy, that it was a partnership, or did you grow into that? How did you look at your pregnancies each time? The relationship with
them. Well, I looked at my pregnancies as this was a gift from the Father, and that he was entrusting me with a seed. And the child, as I carried the child, I formed a relationship with the child, you know, reading to the child, reading scriptures to the child, even talking to the child and saying, you know, that didn't feel real good. I would be glad to see you. I see your face on the other side. But most of all, I knew that doing the delivery process, what helped me through the process, was that I always envisioned Yahshua on the cross. And every time I have a labor pain, I associated with the pains that he had for the world. And
really?
I would say that one is over with. Yes, that one is over with. Some will have that one again. And that's the way I went through them, that I knew that in order to bring forth life, there had to be some suffering. And I would always say in my mind, I know that he bared something more than this. And that's the way I got through with the pregnancies. And I saw them as a gift, that he trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
He trusted me to have these children.
So as a growing up in a Christian home, I'm sure in your early years you were calling on Jesus and God in the household and in the church. When did you start changing your relationship to call on Yeshua and Yahweh?
Oh, gosh, that's been over 20, 25 years or more.
Okay.
What happened is that as I said, I always wanted to know more about the Father for myself. And I noticed that I received some information that his name is not Jesus. His name was Yahshua. Yeshua, depending upon how you pronounce the vowel. And I had some Spanish friends, and they was calling their friends or whatever, Jesus to a Jesus. And I looked at their name. It was spelled the same way as Jesus. And I said to myself, something is not right here. Because I had Spanish friends that really, really loved the Father. And I know that they would not abuse his name or use his name so commonly. And so I began to delve, and I had some other friends that was traveling, and they were, too, was also seeking out information. And I received the information from this author that's called Miss Goldstein or Goldberg. She's out of California, and she wrote a book about Yahweh's name, and she was from the tribe of Judah, and it was her calling to exposed to the Americans what his name is in Hebrew. And, of course, praying about it, not wanting to make a serious mistake because he's the great I am. As I studied, and then there were several scriptures in the New Testament that indicated that this was his name, and especially ones I like that in the end of time, all men is going to know his name. And so when I go forth, you know, I don't argue with people about what name they use, because whatever name they use, that's how they develop that relationship. And I always say, but in the end, he knows his name. And we all will be using his name. His name.
Yeah.
And that's how that come about for me in a nutshell, my own desire of studying. And the Holy Spirit began to nudge at me and to tell me to do more research. And if when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, that's what he said, he would teach you and lead you and guide you into all truth. And sometimes we don't exercise the Holy Spirit as much as we should. But through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through teaching with Prophet Hughes and my other friends, Lord and Callum Gaynor, we found information and research that was his name. And the other thing that just made common sense to me is that when he was born, he wasn't born with an American name. He was a Hebrew child back in that time, and the English language was not birth at that time. So he would not have called him Jesus. He would have called him by a Hebrew name. That just made sense to me.
Right. Okay. So I'm so so grateful that you're sharing your journey and your story and how you came to be this amazing mother that I have witnessed over many years, and not just an amazing mother, but loving and kind and patient. You've just had so many attributes of the woman to be admired, that Proverbs 31 woman to be admired. But let's fast forward to 2021. You're a mother of seven children, and your oldest son becomes ill. So tell us how you dealt with those, what was it, 33 days in the hospital of your oldest son. Tell us how you dealt with that emotionally, especially because you had all this training as a Christian woman, as a Hebrew woman, Israelite woman, and now your oldest child is in. Now, is this the first child who's had a serious illness like this?
Yes, I would say so. I had two other children that had issues with asthma and some other issues, but this is the first child that I've had a life and death threatening situation.
Now, did he have asthma as an adult?
No, he didn't. No medical problems.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about, let's see, we're going to have to go to a break, but I haven't heard from my executive producer yet, so let me just check, see if she has, okay, go ahead and start, give us some history of what has happened over the last 30, with those 33 days that your oldest son was very ill in the hospital. What was your mother's observation?
Well, before he went into the hospital, the week that we had in my mother's celebration.
Yeah, your mother passed. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Your mother passed. When did your mom pass? This year, right? A month or so before?
Yes. Right. September the 26th is when she passed. And he went into the hospital somewhere September 24th, something around that time.
Okay, let me put a pause there. My executive producer is ready for commercial. So we're going to take a commercial break. And then when we come back, my guest, Cynthia Hughes, will share her mother perspective of having her first son, or oldest son, in the hospital for a period of time and then having to say goodbye to his body. And Naima Latif, your mic is open.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Beata.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us this evening. We're talking to my special guest, Cynthia Hughes, mother of seven children. Well, she birthed seven children, grew up in a very strong Christian household with one alcoholic parent, which seems to be something we've all experienced. And it really does shape our beliefs and our perception and our passion for certain things. So as Cynthia, if you're just joining us, Cynthia shared how she had a passion to know the Creator. She just wanted to know more and more about this energy that we call Yahweh in her life, Yahweh, God. She had to know this Creator more and more, and that's what she has been seeking after all her life, I guess, since a child. And now we are talking about 2021 when her oldest son spent 33 days in the hospital before he passed on, and we want to hear the mother's perspective that we might also grow with her in how we detach from these souls that we give birth to. So Cynthia, tell us how you felt and what your experience was having your oldest son in the hospital for 33 days. What was that like? And knowing your relationship with the Creator, it's a very powerful story, I think.
Oh, well, yes. I had just written my book, was released, called Live, Do Not Only Exist, But Live. And that was my story, how the Creator delivered me, healed me from cancer, and I was supposed to die, especially if I had any more children. So I had the last three children after my cancer, and that's been over 35, 36 years that I'm living. And so while Albert was in the hospital, myself and the children, we just had this faith and trust in the Father that we know that He could deliver him and heal him, because we've seen how the Father has manifested himself in these types of situations. And that's where we were. I think about 3 weeks before his passing, the doctors had said to us that he won't be alive in the next 24 hours. And we said, well, you want to see a miracle. And sure enough, he lived. And so during that time, we just had this unmovable faith, knowing that he would recover. But as we got closer to the end, I had a dream or vision where I saw Albert talking with the Father, and the Father was saying, I have need of you, and Albert wanted to be with him, but he was also hesitant about not going because his family, but his desire was to be with him. And throughout this process, I could hear my son say, I'm all right, all right, all right. He said, Mom, I'm all right. But yet still, I am a type of person that believes to hold on to that faith, because it's our desire to see this miracle come forth. And we also got together as a family, and it was such a presence of the Holy Spirit, and when we would pray, things will increase for him. And the last day that I went to see him, he had this tear in his eye, and I wiped his tear. But from his chest to my chest, it was pure energy that moved from my chest to his chest, because I was saying, Father, you know what? We need to know how to bring forth healing, because your word says if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And it was as if the Father was saying to me, in order for these miracles to happen, there have to be such a pureness in the heart, the way Yahshua had that pureness in his heart. And, you know, I kissed him, and I left the hospital, and then I told my daughter, I said, you need to go see him. But I had this feeling that something was going to happen during that day. And sure enough, in the evening, the doctor called us and said that he had passed. But we didn't have a chance to be there with him because we didn't know that he was passing. And so his passing, of course, was not what we wanted. That was not the testimony we wanted. But, you know, and I asked the Father, I said, Father, he came through my womb. And, of course, the Father shared with me, but he came from my heart. And I knew that I had to trust the Father with all my body, soul, and spirit, because as this saga began with me, even with my mother's funeral, the Father asked me just to say that he was awesome. So he could do whatever he wanted to do if he chose to raise him. And so raise him from the dead, because I believe that this can be done, and we are living in the time where we should be seeing these things happen that others are according to the scriptures. And so since this did not happen with Albert, of course, there was a disappointment, but at the same time, the Father began to reveal to me about his life. And in summary, he was on the ventilator for 33 days, and he was 39 years old. The 33 was showing the life of Yahshua, and the 39 is the stripes that he took. And not only that, Albert was an extension or reminder or another chapter of what my mom's legacy, how important it is for us to give our lives to the Savior and live according to his word and not according to the desires of man, and that we can do that. And he also showed me in Numbers about the 11, his birthday. He passed 4 days before his birthday, and he had 4 children, which is showing creation. And each one of the children that he birthed had a specific indication about his life. His oldest child was showing the olive tree, according to her name, and the second child was showing the baptism. The third child was showing the flowing to and from heaven, and the last child was showing a heavenly place, according to their name. And the other thing where I find comfort that at his celebration service, how people spoke, how he touched their lives. And we have to understand ministry is not somebody just come to a pulpit, have a congregation, and they ministers in the four walls. But true ministry is when you touch the hearts of people and leave an impression upon them. And so the Father helped me through this process. It helped me through this process by saying, he said to me, if I see him only as my son and my baby and my firstborn, my grief will be prolonged. But if I see him as a man that have completed his purpose upon the earth, my grief will be shortened and I will have joy and dancing before him, because my desire is only to trust Father Yah, and not to have my hope in man. And our hope is that all of our hope is that there will be a reunification in the timing of the Father. And as you study the book of Revelation, we are getting closer and closer to that time. And also what gives me consolation is that at his service, we had an altar call. And I didn't pray for the people, but several other ministers touched their heart. And, you know, reports are coming back how people gave their lives over to the Father, or how they was relieved of being bound by certain situations. And so I say that his translation, as well as my mom's translation, that they are touching lives more in their translation than they did while they was alive. Because my mom had like 4,900 people viewing live, and then after the service, it went up to about 6,000 or 7,000 while people were trying to see the funeral.
Wow!
And so that's my joy, and I refuse to allow bitterness and anger, and unforgiveness and hurt. And scenarios going over and over in my mind. What can I do? I didn't pray hard enough. But the Father had shared, gave me comfort, and said he saw my faith. Not on mine, but he saw the other children's faith. And he was pleased with the faith that we had. But his desire, you trust in the Father's will more so than our desire. And so you have to be really conscious of what's going through in your mind, the thoughts that's coming through your mind. As the sister said, you know, there's 7 scriptures where you give us joy for mourning, and you can't have that mourning unless joy, unless you start moving your feet. Now, of course, I do feel sad, and I did have an opportunity where I cried, but there's a time to cry, and there's a time to be sensitive when the enemy is bringing thoughts to your mind that's not productive. And that's when you go into warfare, because our warfare is with principalities and powers and rulers and darkness of this world. And so I see my son. I don't feel a death around my son. I never felt a death around him. I always felt a separation from the body, but not a death. Death, which is pleasure and pleasing to the Father. And to go through this process, we need, as I heard a minister, that we need to have a memory. We have focus on the positive memories, how his life affected others and how his life is still affected others. And then we have that hope. We have that hope that we will be reunited again. And the last thing we have to have is confidence and trust in the Father that he would take this situation and we could use it to bless others, because that was my prayer. Father, now that this has happened, this is not the way we wanted to go. And I know with all my heart that he could have given us the desire that we want to, according to the Hebrew, you know, the Hebrew boys. Whether or not he did, the fact is, I know he can. And as I said to one of the persons that was dealing with some issues, I said that I want to keep my mind in a positive place, because he is still the King of Kings and the everlasting Father. He's awesome. So if he decides to raise him up out of the grave, I want my mind to be in a positive place.
Right.
I don't want to be a hindrance, because I believe that the time that we are living in now, we are going to begin to see more and more of those miracles, whether it's our generation or the generation, our children's generation, because of his coming back. And I really believe that we are walking in that era of time, and that's where I choose to be. That's where our warfare is when it comes to grief. And we cannot allow grief to overtake us, because grief opens up the door for unforgiveness, health issues, bitterness, which is the root of all of them, anger. And who are we to be bitter and angry with the Almighty Father, who's the creator of life? So I'm not saying that I'm in a perfect state yet, but I do know in my mind I refuse to get to be trapped by the negative thoughts of the enemy. Enemy, because in Psalms 119, that's like 95, it says the enemy is waiting for us to destroy us, meaning that he has no power to destroy us, but he sends thoughts and situations that we entertain that opens up doors for health issues for us and many other problems. So,
Yeah. You said something very profound about you, that the Creator said to you, you heard the voice, the Spirit of the Most High say that you, your son came from your womb, but your son also came from my heart. What? How do you explain that? How do you explain that to mothers who maybe don't have your strong Bible faith? Because I hear you, your belief is strong in scripture and a creator and a savior, but there are a lot of mothers out there who don't have that faith. But what you said about that our children come from the heart of the creator, I don't care what religion you are, that's profound to, if you can accept that in the journey to accept death or soul graduation. How do you elaborate on that part about that our children come from the heart of the Creator? And then we have a caller who wants to speak. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. I want you to speak first about the heart of the how our children come from the heart, which should make it easier for us to celebrate a soul graduation, I would think. What's your thought on that? How that relates to having grief versus celebrating the graduation when you hear the voice of Spirit say, but he came from my heart. That's deep to me.
Well, the first place we have to be, Sister Deanna, is that we have to know that we are saved and have that relationship with the Father. And I thought it was unique, because the father and I have always had these conversations, because I was ostracized, number one, because you were having all these children and you shouldn't be having these children, but financially it's hard to take care of them, da 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 da. But in my life experiences, I always met women that couldn't have children. So, or could only have one, and they was attracted to my family. And so when I think about he comes from the heart, our children come from his heart, that's where he said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb.
Right.
And so each one of us were known in his thought before we posed ourselves into flesh here. And what gives me consolation is that because we were in his thoughts and it was through his administration that we was born, that means that we are a piece of him. And so whether we were his heart, his toenail, or whatever part we are, we still are part of him, and it is a blessing, the way I see it, it is a blessing that he trusted me to have these children. Because these are precious gold. You know, you don't trust gold with everybody. You don't trust gifts with everybody. So out of all the women in the world, he trusted me to allow him to use my womb to bring forth a part of him in the earth. Just the same thing with Mary. He trusted her body and her that she would do what was necessary to protect the baby, to bring forth him. So he used my womb. He trusted me to use my womb, that I would not abort the children, that I would do the best I could to raise them. Now, I'm not a perfect mother. I look back now. I said, well, I wish I could have done some things differently. But as I say, children, excuse me, our children don't come to, as a manual. And when they come, we are all growing together.
Well, I think, and you know, the fact that you had several children, I don't know if that makes it easier to detach from each one or not, but we're going to talk, I want to talk about that because I think women who have only one child, I don't know if it's harder for a one-child mother to detach and accept soul graduation or if it's harder for what's the difference when a woman may have seven children and one child dies and she can't detach and there's a lot of grief? So we want to talk about that. But let me open the mic of our caller. I think this is Kwame Sunhorse, 706-202. Your mic is open.
Yes. Good evening, Sister Viata. And
good evening
to my excellent, I mean, that sister's powerful. What's her name?
Cynthia.
Cynthia, I apologize, Cynthia. I've been enjoying your story, and my condolences, and may your son rest in peace and power. I'm listening to the story of the seven children and the miscarriage and your belief in the Creator, but I've yet to hear each child has to have a father, and you've yet to speak any man in the conversation about how you all went through this, or did you go through this with your husband, with your son, and him being a father also? And that's the part that I know it's about the women, but there's always the man and the male and the female takes the two to make a human being. And you've made those seven human beings, and I was just listening to see where any of the information that you're sharing about the man that was there with you that went through this, or did you go through this alone?
Oh, no. Go ahead, Cynthia.
I'm glad.
Powerful man. Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to say that fathers hurt too. And Mr. Hughes, he's basically an individual person that stays kind of isolated, but he did much praying on his own. He did not pray with us, but what I would love to do is he went through his relationship with the father too, and the father spoke with him. He went through a lot of grief and groaning. He talks about his experience where he just groaned and cried out for his son as if a woman was groaning in labor and pain. And after that particular time, the father told him to rest. And he shared with us, it's now for us to rest.
Right, and I thank you for that because as fathers, we too have that connection. And we don't want to lose our children before we do. And that part of, I lost my brother, and I've never lost a child. But the part of us grieving and the two, and I know that a man feels certain if he is a father and he's really connected with his children, he may not experience the growth that the woman does in carrying a child in the womb, but when it comes to the earth and it has its earth day, that presence of that child that they created together is very powerful if he is sincere with the woman that that gave birth to that child for him. So that was the part I didn't feel. I felt all of what you were sharing about you, but I know that there's more than just you to create a child.
Right, and what I would say is that I would love for him to talk about his experiences because
okay.
You're absolutely right, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about the fathers, and a lot of times the fathers are, you know, we concentrate on the mothers, but the fathers groan and long too, and it's okay for the fathers to cry and to make sacrifices for their children, depending upon their relationship that they had with their children. And that's why I often say, fathers, it is so important to take time. I know you're the breadwinner and you have all these other things on schedule, you know, but carve out time in the day that you spend specifically with your children and with your family.
Right.
Family.
And
that strengthens the relationship. It strengthens the bond. And I think because he has peace, because we know that our son is with the Savior. But
right.
It would be good if he talks of his experience.
Right.
But I know, and because he's filled with the word, and he has the love of the word, he would definitely be coming from a spiritual aspect also. That's what
right.
helps us through it.
Right, and you speak that. The part that I know, too, that as black men, we have the system and the way we're portrayed in the system as deadbeat dads and all of these negatives. And there's a lot of positive fathers out there. And I listened to Viata with her sons and their father and her relationship with her father until his passing at 95. So there are the good fathers, and we need to hear that, because a lot of times we get the bad information. They will give us all the bad information, but there's some great fathers and some loving fathers out there and men that are raising children today that look like us. And so we have to keep that balance of being able to speak them when they are doing the things in which are the right things and being that man to provide, protect, and profess. Thank you for your story, and I'll listen.
But before you go, I would like to get rid of that description, a deadbeat father, because of the fact that being a social worker and worked in many different scenarios in families' lives, many of the fathers, they have such a desire to want to be with their children, but with the abuse, and the control that they have to put up with the mother wanting to see their children, it's just so painful for them.
Right.
And so I know many women will not agree with this, but I've seen it so many times, wonderful men, all they want to do is to be with their children, but they have to go, the woman take them through so many loops, until they're just drained. And many times they come to the conclusion, I would just rather just not have the relationship with the child because of the strain that it is the mother is placing upon the father.
And I thank you for
And it's true. And I think there is a lot of fathers out there that are not deadbeat, but because the woman is so vindictive in her own mind, and she doesn't realize it. And then I know there are cases where you want to protect your children because X, Y, and Z, but I don't think it's not right for a mother not to allow the father to be with the children because he's not paying child support.
Right.
And sometimes I think these mothers can get a lot more from the relationship of the father per child if they wouldn't have this child support controlling thing. And so I would love to do a conference with young men for them to understand that when you become intimate with a woman in her mind feels that she's entitled now.
Right.
And that entitlement can get you into a lot of trouble.
And the child suffers. And this is the part that we
exactly.
have to
begin.
Right. You're sharing
exactly.
is very much what needs to be. And we need to begin. And I've been doing working with men and breaking these generational curses. The part of
right.
it is that, and the women, working with the women, because like you said, there are women that use children as, use them as a paycheck, or they use them as a pawn to do this. And we have to be mindful. It's not always what the media portrays, and that's what I meant by saying deadbeat dad. That's what the media puts out. But what do we know that goes on in our community? We know different. And just like you spoke
right.
up and saying in your social service, working with those ones that have been battling to be that, because the two things a child needs until it gets a certain age is time and love. Time
right.
and love. And if
right.
a man can be there and help raise and babysit his own child and give the love to that child, then that child is nurturing, and that takes away some of those traumas that happen to us. Because just as you shared about your father was an alcoholic, I broke my father's generational curse of being an alcoholic 40 years ago when I quit drinking. So it can be done, and we just have to be the willingness and the way showers, as you have just shared your story. And I'm hoping that it opens some hearts and it shared something, because like Viata said, that was very powerful, because the African says a person is born when a girl has the thought of a baby. The girl has the thought of a baby is when the child is born.
Wow. Okay, so we got to – can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because my computer sound, I had to call in. We're going to go to a break. Thank you so much, Kwame, for bringing up those questions and thoughts. And when we come back, I want to just touch on how do we, especially from you, Cynthia, and Kwame, maybe you can hang on, how do we help these mothers who are losing their sons in violence? Chicago's a good example. We had a young man, Jelani was his name, who was missing. And then he showed up dead, and now the mother is seeking revenge and trying to get more information. But how do we help these mothers celebrate the soul graduation when that type of transition occurs where it's violent? So, Naima, is your mic's open, and we're going to go to a break and come back and try and resolve, find some peace when mothers have to say their goodbye to their son suddenly, versus spending 33 days in a hospital situation. So we'll be right back.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soul for Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
And we are back in the Soul Purpose Healing Studio and the Female Solutions Studio. So thank you for joining me today. We're talking with my friend and sister minister, Cynthia Hughes, who I connected with on last Wednesday at her son's graduation. We called it a graduation. His soul graduated. Cynthia has been in a close relationship with our creator, who she calls her father, for some time now. And that's why she was able to transition from the stages of grief that can be talked about, and yet we don't know how people go through those stages, because in my opinion, it depends on what your relationship is with the Creator. And Cynthia, the stages of grief, here's the stages of grief that are written about in many books. There's denial, there's anger, there's bargaining, there's depression, and there's acceptance. Would you say, Cynthia, that you went through all those stages? Are you still going through those stages? How would you relate or comment about those stages of grief that they talk about and write about?
Well, I think what helped me do this process is realizing that I'm in warfare with principalities, powers, rulers, and darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness is working in high places. And any one of those stages, they can just bombard your mind with negativeness. When I experience an emotion, I first realize where is it coming from. Now, I'm not saying that I do feel sad. You know, I'm accepting what is happening, but I know that bargaining is not where I need to be because of what the Father has shown me about my son, that my son's life was really effective, and it was his choice to be with him. And as he said, Mom, I'm dancing with the angels. Now, anger, I choose not to be angry with the Father. I choose not to be angry with myself or either the medical people that helped took care of him. I choose not to be angry because the anger draws out so much energy out of you that even if you want to do something positive toward that situation, you are not thinking clearly. And so I have my moments where as a mother, you know, I feel sad and I want to cry, but I immediately know through his word, he said, put my trust in him and not in my emotions. emotions that we would get through this. The other thing is, too, that I'm quite aware that if you are fixated in some of these stages, you open yourself up for physical issues. It's bad for your immune system. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's the thing that's helping me through this process that I refuse to be fixated into a stage, because I'm looking as being on the other side with memories, with hope, with connection with the Father. And that's where I choose to be there, that I choose to have joy, turn my mourning into joy. And you can't have that joy unless you start moving your feet and clapping your hands and singing your song to help me pass through it, because I just refuse to be fixated in any negativeness.
Well, I'm
because
I'm glad
my
you
prayer.
I'm glad you brought up the emotional issue and your health, because on the map of consciousness, which is from the book by David Hawkins, he talks about the levels of emotions that can cause sickness. And grief, fear are at the very bottom of the scale, that if you hold on to those emotions, they will cause sickness. Anger is near the bottom of the scale. So if you in terms of what you're saying, physical effects or consequences, those stages of grief can take you right into disease. And I'm glad that you're not angry with the hospital or the medical personnel, even though they have, you know, being in a hospital used to be kind of a comfort and a safe place, but yeah, these days you got to be real careful about going into a hospital. I warn people all the time now on my health and well-being show to stay out of hospitals as much as possible. But sometimes, if the person has not prepared and to prevent sickness or disease, that is the only choice. But as you said, Cynthia, it's a choice in these stages of grief or not, and move on to higher consciousness where you know you're going to have health, you're going to have peace with the Creator, you're going to have more joy with the relationship you have with your Creator. So all of these things we are trying to put out tonight to help mothers or fathers who might encounter or experience what Cynthia has gone through in the future, or if you're still struggling. Let me open up the mic to one of our callers, the 773-606. Your mic is open. Do you have a comment or a question for our guest?
Yes, both. Thank you. This is a Kufi. I appreciate hearing from a wise woman. That's, I'm not going to say it's rare, but these days, they're there, you know, and they only speak when necessary. That's what I found out, being in a village mind frame. The real sisters are the backbone. They speak when, and then they kind of guide us men to follow, their narrative. And that's why, people kind of appreciate me, because I lift up our women. But as a man of God myself, learning about death, if you read the word, there is no death.
Right.
Whatever, death doesn't exist. Because once you become a spiritual, whatever you want to call it, cosmic energy, and then you realize that your energy, that's why so many of us can communicate with our ancestors. I communicate with my grandfather. He told me, why he brought me back from California to Chicago. And in my dream, he was there. He came to California. He said, I'm bringing you back to Chicago. And he explained to me what happened. I was like, why did I was with my father in Chicago. I mean, in California, why did he bring me back? And my grandfather explained, I have the money, the resources, and I want you to be raised with your brother. So that lets me know that there is no death, because you can see, I'm sure she, like she said, she feels her son's spirit. And I think if we have that type of mind frame, like he called it, graduation, then if we have this type of mind frame that life and death is really in the tongue, so you walk a better life. You know, I missed out on a lot of situations I could have died. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have those experiences, but I one of my last secrets I'm going to tell you that what keeps me is that, I want to live, I'm 50, I'm almost 50, I want to live to 100, so I actually try to vision myself at 100 years old, and that way the Creator is going to protect me and keep me safe. So I applaud you, sister, keep it up, and I pray that, the end of the pandemic is coming, the lawsuit from the police stopped the mandates, so-called, but I believe out of this is going to come a resurgence of that, what we've been doing all along, sharing information and take people up to different dimensions. So a little bump in the road that I think we're going through right now, but it really brought people back, start reading the word, going back to Christ. That's how I really feel like what happened. All right, sister, my question to you, I have children, so what? It's like I'm trying to be a good daddy to my children, be a friend. What would you suggest us parents to how to create a relationship with our children so it's not too close where my daughter's like, oh, my dad, I almost got hit by a car, And I felt it. Like, oh, I said, daddy went through that too. What was your idea, and especially in this moment in time that parents are really trying to, I don't whoop my kids. I don't shout with them. I don't argue with them. And they appreciate that. But what would you suggest, especially as men and women, to care for our children in this moment? Because the women are the first teachers. I call it the womb. You teach a child when they're in your belly. You talk to them, come out. What would you suggest us parents today? Should we look at the old ways we used to do things, or is there a new parental way that you maybe have discovered?
Kulfi, I think it's important you share with her how old your children are, because that's part of the adjustment that we need to make with our children. As they get older, they're not our children anymore. They're messengers. So I want Cynthia to answer this in light of how old your children are at this stage.
Yeah, my twins are seven. I have paternal twins. They're 17, born a girl.
17. So these are really adults, really, when you think about it.
Born by birth. Yeah, they're adults, yeah. So I let them know, hey, you need to teach me something now. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't bring you to this life just to teach you. I brought you in life so you can teach me something. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So how do we relate to our adult children is the question.
Well, my son that graduated, one thing that he observed is to live what you teach. Don't, that old saying, do as I say, not as I do. And children are looking for the Christ inside of their parents. So if you live what you preach, and I'm not saying you have to, what's important is carving out time where you can spend time praying with those kids and praying with your partner, your wife. That is such a sacred experience for children. To know that my family has come together and we are reverencing the Almighty. The other thing that children really like, they love to see their parents smiling and loving each other.
That's right.
And even if they're separated, they're divorced or whatever, I wrote a book that's called Just One Moment. And that book addresses these with the adults. The separation and the divorce is not as painful as the children not having opportunity to create memories that they can have with their parents that they can share with their children. And so if the parents can share positive experiences with the children. And that does not mean, excuse me, being the Disney dad or shower them with a lot of material
yes.
things, but if they can see mom and dad just having a conversation and how they work together to resolve that conversation. Or if there's a conflict between them, with the children, how they can come together to resolve that conflict without the children being manipulative.
Right.
And sharing with the children about your history.
Mm-hmm. I teach them all about
your
that.
Expectations. Yeah.
My parents, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Like I found out my great-grandmother, Ada Stewart in Mississippi, my family created Rush College in Mississippi, HBCU University. Started church. You know, and I told her that, she's like, wow. It just encouraged her so much to realize what family had done. And that's what really we stand on. We stand on the shoes of our ancestors. And we can find out the accomplishments, what they did. You know, because I always preach the inventions from America, from black people, create the industries all over the world. Air conditioners, doorknobs, shoe machine, traffic light, goes all over the world. We made millions of millionaires through our ideas. So I do that. I share the word with her. Speak in tongues with her, and you know she appreciates that. And I tell her that, hey, this is what a daddy is supposed to do. You know, if I can be a better daddy, give me some suggestions. And I'm just trying to be a good father, you know, to you.
So and you said that we need to pray. We need to pray with our children and see that we can speak in tongues, that the Holy Spirit is real. Share scriptures, because when I was my children was little, every night at 7 o'clock we had Bible study, and the only way to give these children strength and word in them where they need the word. I mean, if it's no more than learning one scripture a week,
that's it. That is mission, right?
Meditate.
That's your mission right there. Pray, have Bible study. It's so provocative of comments. We did that, and, you know, when I go around my family, they pull out the Bibles. Uh-oh, here he comes. Pull out your Bible. I say, y'all stop playing. You know, because they said I was going to be a minister. You know, my grandfather's a minister, and he spoke in tongues, and I speak in tongues, so I gave it to her. You know, I told her how to use faith. I said, anytime you need something, you want daddy, you better pray on it. So that way I'm giving her a position as a daughter. That she goes, I have a position with my father. You know,
right. And you set standards for your children too.
Huh?
You have to set standards for your children.
Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the hard part.
This is, well, if you live it, you can't compromise it.
If you say what you're going to do, if you say what you're going to do, that creates a standard. I remember my daughter, she wanted to go to a place, and my mother told her she couldn't go in the woods. And I went over there, and my daughter hugged me because I was there as a father, you know. So, yeah, now creating standards by your viewpoint and motherhood status, what would be some of the criteria of that? You know, I mean, I need to know that, you know.
Well, number one, as a father, you can say to your daughter, this dress wear is inappropriate, and tell them why. As a man, how a man looks at that dress wear.
Hmm.
A father with sons, then you know what? You're not going anywhere with your belt and showing your underwear. And you could say to them another standard that you know we use in our families. There's no such thing as failing or missing a grade. There's no such thing as an L, unless if you have a learning issue. And if you have a learning disability, then let's see what we can do to work on this together.
I just feel like the parents need to be teachers as well, you know, and children of the students. Very important for me is to teach her
like I'm teaching her about faith. And I said, I used the word manifest. She said, manifest? That's evil. I said, no. I said, you can think and bring faith is seeing things to the unseen. So you want to bring things to you, and you do it, you call it to existence. You bring it to you. And she's like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
That conversation, just having that conversation, and that didn't cost you anything. Just knowing that the kids can talk to you about anything. But I want to go back to the question you asked because I want the show over with before I make this clear. I've been approached by single parents and they've said to me, if you lose one, you got six more to go. And, you know, that's something that I have had to contend with all my life. And my answer to that, if I have 6 or 90, each one of these children are different. I treat them as an only child. So if I lose one, that one has left a void for me. The other children are different individuals. They cannot fill that void. So I don't accept that because you have one child, it's harder than a mother that has many. Many. Because she has many, but each child is different. Each child is a gift. And when that child goes, that gift goes. Sure, you have other children where now you give your attention to.
I learned that.
And the other person may not have that. But, you know, when he created us as individual people with specific purposes and needs and instructions. And that's why I treat my children. Each one of them is valuable to me.
You know, as a father, I was so excited. As a father, I was so excited. My daughter, she said, I said, what you want to do in life? I want to work at McDonald's because her mother used to work at McDonald's. I said, work at McDonald's? Yeah. I said, why don't you own McDonald's? She's like,
right.
Oh, I'm a business. So I converted her mind.
Right.
Gave her that Christ mind. That, you know, God will supply all your needs. And I told her yesterday, I said, you know, when you go to college, you want to work, and you want to build up enough money where you don't got to work again. She's like, oh, that's a secret. That's a secret, Daddy. I said, yeah. You ain't got to work 30, 40 years. You've worked 5, 10 years. Save all your money.
We got to take our last break. We'll be right back, and I want to go back to the question about when a child dies suddenly. Versus a long-term illness. So
yes.
Naima Latif is going to take us to a break, and we'll come right back. Thank you, Naima. Thank you, Kofi, for your insights and your questions.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of trial and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Monday, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks.
And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, success strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on relationships. Third Saturday, move around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us. If you just tuned in, we're speaking to my special guest, Cynthia, Minister Cynthia Hughes. She is a close friend, a sister, and a woman who has just experienced a soul graduation of her oldest son last week. So we're talking about washing away the grief and celebrating a soul graduation. It takes a certain consciousness to get to the place of soul graduation celebration, and that's why we're doing this show tonight, so that we can help some of the mothers out there not only prepare for a soul graduation. It can happen any day. We don't know when an assignment's going to end. I don't know what this noise is. Let me mute some mics, see if that helps. But we are always mindful that women have gone through this. So, Cynthia, speak to some of the women out there who had to say goodbye to their children in a sudden way and what they can do to reach that celebration level of the soul.
Well, Deanna, I can understand. I guess I can understand it. Excuse me. First of all, they feel robbed. They feel cheated. They feel disrespected, etc. And what I would say to those women, that you have to find a scripture or a word, again, to carry you through. And I think one of the first things is to connect yourselves with the organization who mothers have lost children in tragedy situations, where they can give you that support, because they know what you've gone through with. They know what you are experiencing. And the other thing is that, again, you have to evaluate your anger, or your anger won't destroy you, but your anger is productive anger. Excuse me. And that's what you want to look at. And I know sometimes it's hard, you know, you evaluate your emotions, but sometimes you have to just talk to yourself and say, what am I going to achieve out of the way I'm feeling? I need to move forward. And in moving forward, I'm sure there's at least one scripture that you can get, and you have to go over it over and over and over and over and over in your mind until you become married to it. So when negative things come up, you know, that word is sitting up a standard. And, you know, to cry, to get around people that you really trust, and do what you can do so far as the legal system is concerned, to get that justice of what has happened to your loved ones. But that support group, I think, with mothers that have gone through it, would be so supportive for them.
And I want to add, Cynthia, as you did so well at your son's graduation, point out the numbers around the events that happen when a child transitions. Because to me, that distracted me from the grief when it came to my sister's death and graduation. It was the number 3 was everywhere, and I thought, whoa, what does that mean? So I would add to what you just said as being very valid, but also every time there's someone close to you who passes, look at the time that they took their last breath. Look at the date that they passed on. All these numbers are going to speak to you from a higher consciousness. They're going to speak to you about the Creator's purpose in allowing this person to leave at this time. And it'll speak to you as to why their assignment ended, when it ended, at the time it ended, and all the numbers, which are the language of the universe. Those numbers will speak to you about accepting the soul's graduation. We've got a caller, Mama AZ. Your mic is open.
Greetings. Dr. V, can you hear me?
Yes, I apologize for this echo. I don't know if everybody can hear that, but I phoned because my computer speaker went out. But go ahead. We'll do our best. I might have to
Yes. Greetings to your guests. And Brother Kofi and Brother Kwame, I appreciate this. You never cease to amaze me, Dr. V. Minister Cynthia, that's interesting. I know 3 ministers, Cynthias, and today, if I've added it up right, is a 3. Figuring this out. Trinity, well, what's the understanding of all of this? And I've been listening as much as I can, and it just really speaks volumes about your son, how wise he was to choose you to be the gateway to come back to this planet at this particular time. Now, how I have several questions. First of all, what part of South Carolina are you from?
Let me open up.
Okay, I'm from Chester, South Carolina.
Did I hear you say Chester?
Chester, yes.
Whoa, that is too deep. That is so deep, my sister. That is so deep. Are you familiar with Hemingway, South Carolina?
Hemingway, yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay, this is so deep. Now, how young was your son when he chose to make his transition at this particular time?
He's 39, as I brought out, the 39 showing the 33 stripes that the Father took that we all might have salvation.
Well, more Johnny, there's a sister who crossed over temporarily, but she comes back, more Johnny. And she came to my phone today, Dr. V. You should look this up. And Minister, you should look this up because, to me, your son is giving a shout-out to the effect that we are all connected. And he knew that he was going to link up with myself and the others that are on this podcast. Now, was your son born in Chester, South Carolina as well?
That son was born in Columbia, South Carolina.
No. Did I hear you say he was born in Columbia, South Carolina?
Correct.
Wow. my sister, I appreciate this, and I appreciate him for linking, having you to connect with Dr. V. This is another show, but so much interference. It is, I don't know what it is, but it's driving me crazy. But I got enough information to be able to confirm some things. This is really deep, Minister. So I thank you for the wisdom that you have, not allowing the negativity behind this event to get you in at a level of not being grateful for everything. And your son knew, he knew when he chose you that all of us would be on this podcast together. And I know this for a fact. So you look up Marjani. Dr. V can give you the link, and I appreciate you. And I'm going to be quiet. Just listen, because this is a lot of interference, but that's okay. It is what it is. Thank you, Minister. Thank us.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Sister. That interference, I don't know where it's come from. We're going to take a meditation break at this point. Let us just breathe in the truth that has been spoken by my sister, Ms. Cynthia. And let's just take some time to breathe deeply, because one of the issues that people are having these days with going, why they're going in the hospital, because they can't breathe. Their lungs are weak. So that's why on each show, I like to take the time for all of us together collectively to strengthen our lungs by breathing deeply. So I'm going to play a couple of songs for us to take a moment to close our eyes and breathe in deeply and out, taking in the truth that has been spoken today about the graduation of the soul. Let us all consider washing away whatever grief remains in our hearts and minds and give it to the Creator, the Spirit of Love, as we listen to the words and songs of this music, breathing in and out, taking in the truth that we have been given and the love, activating the love in this vessel of love from the Most High, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Breathing in and out, closing our eyes, listening to you, letting go of the
born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing. I am born of I am born of water, cleansing.
Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves, I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones, I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings, I know a caged bird. Many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds, but my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here, the rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds, we need to listen. Earth, my body, water, earth, my body, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my spirit. Earth, my body, earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
Let us truly, truly think about those words. We need to quiet our mind and listen. Quiet our mind and listen. I think a lot of our, or some of our children are not listening these days. They're not quieting their mind. They're listening to video games. They're on their phones being entertained by the activities on the phone, which are numerous. When you look at the number of apps that you can download on your phones and the number of entertainment options on Netflix and so forth, we're in a time where our children are becoming the sacrifice for this period of ignorance and not quieting the mind and listening. My guest tonight has shared with us how she has been an avid listener of the spirit of the Most High, the voice of the Most High. And unfortunately, this generation is not listening. And so we have to be the voice that comes in of truth. And so I'm really looking forward to presenting a workshop on natural ways to prevent COVID or the flu. I like to say it's just the flu, and how to stay out of the hospital. So that's what I have been motivated to do as a result of this beautiful soul that I experienced of his soul graduation. And because our children are teaching us, they are the messengers of the day, And I, that's how I have detached from my relationship with my own children, not in a physical way, but in a mental way. I'm not their mother anymore. They are messengers, and I am a messenger. Our relationship has greatly improved. Just as my sister Cynthia said, the father told her that if you stop calling them your kids or your children and look at them in a different way, the peace comes to the parent, the mother, father, when soul graduation comes. So I want to encourage all you listeners out there to stop calling your adult children your children and possessing them as these are my kids, my children. Start looking at these souls as messengers, because what happens is whatever their choices are, whether they're in their phones or in alcohol or drugs, they are messengers. And it's our job as parents, as elders, as wiser souls to speak the truth, just as my sister Cynthia has done this evening. So, Cynthia, I'm going to let you have the last word to our audience. What would you like to share as a last word?
The last words I'd like to share is how important it is to commit the scriptures to your memory. And one scripture, where he says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. And you know, you can actually, have these scriptures in your heart. You can talk to the Father about these scriptures. I know your word is true. Help me to experience what you are saying in this dark hour. And he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And Father, I trust your word that in my mourning you will comfort me. Help me to open up my mind to receive that comfort. And he also let us know in his word is that, oh, give thanks unto Yahweh for his good, for his mercy endures forever. And Father, I know that your mercy is enduring forever. I may not feel it right now, but just because I don't feel it, it doesn't mean that it's not real. Help me to bring these emotions under subjection so I will not sin against thee. So use the word. Commit it to your heart, and he would really take you through these processes. And as I said, you know, I don't want to put myself on some big pedestal tonight, as if I don't feel and experience some things that he would think a parent would be experiencing when they lost a child. I do, but I have to keep in mind when I'm experiencing those things, I will not allow them to destroy me, but my comfort is in my Father Yahweh, and my comfort is in having an opportunity to share with people that we can do this, we can go through this, we can be on the other side, how important it is for us to use our testimonies to encourage others not to give up the faith in their relationship with their fathers.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, my sister. I appreciate you so much, and I hope to take the time out when I finish all this moving to get together with you more often and present this information about natural ways to prevent COVID and just to encourage and support one another in this journey. So we're going to say goodnight here, my sister. Thank you. I'll be in touch, Sister Cynthia, and open up the mic of my executive producer. Remember, your adult children are not going to be influenced by you any longer. I'm sorry to give that news, but it's true. They're not going to be influenced by you as much as you they were when they were kids. So think of them as messengers.
We've come to the end
they
of
have
our show today.
Now. For their parents. And so the Psalms and Proverbs are my favorite books to read in the Bible. As Cynthia just iterated, they'll bring you peace.
You can also hear today's show on the Female
90 Seconds.
Love, and don't forget Zelda tomorrow morning, Monday morning mindfulness. She'll be talking about when pain speaks to you, automatically stop and listen. Dr. Jason Lee Smith will be on the show tomorrow to help you Deal with
Watch
the
our
pain.
TV shows.
Tomorrow
to
at
our radio
7
show.
Central.
And be sure
and
to get your copy
Eastern.
Of the book.
Love and many blessings to all of you. Thank
seconds.
You so much for being here with us. Together, we can overcome this Twilight Zone madness.
And to our
Hallelujah.
Family listening from all
and
around the world.
Say goodbye to our global family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To our family in China.
China. Okay.
Zanyaba. Japan. Arigato. Korea. Kamsahamnida. Russia,
Samida.
Spasiba. Germany,
Spasiba.
Danke. Poland,
Danke.
John Cunyong.
John
Cunyong. Merci. Spain,
Merci beaucoup.
Gracias. Italy,
gracias.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Shukran. Ghana. Nadasi. Nigeria. Eshe.
10 seconds.
Africa. Niyabonga.
Niyabonga.
Jerez. Kenya, Asante,
Asante.
Israel, Toda,
Toda
Pakistan,
Rabah.
Shukriya, Afghanistan,
Shukriya.
Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran,
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you.
Salam
may
alaikum.
May peace be upon you and the mercy of
Have
God and God's blessings.